Please turn with me in your Bibles this morning back to 1 Peter chapter 3. And this morning we come to verse 7. And last week we considered Peter's words for wives. Wives, he said, likewise, wives, be subject to your own husbands. And this morning in verse 7, Peter begins somewhat similarly, saying, likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way. Well, that way that Peter begins here, likewise, often raises a couple of questions. What does likewise mean? Does Peter mean somehow that husbands are then to submit themselves to their wives in the same way that wives are to subject themselves to their own husbands? Well, no, that's not the case here, and I'm going to make just a brief comment on that word likewise before we read the passage. That word likewise is there because Peter is still addressing this theme of submission in the Christian life. You know how we began at chapter 2, verse 13, with that theme of submission. And Peter is laboring to help us understand that as disciples of Jesus Christ, we are called to a life of submission. And that is why he continues in verse 7 using that word likewise. Husbands are to live in submission as husbands. And that submission is to Jesus Christ. You can see here in this passage that the only proper way for anyone to ever exercise any authority is by first living in submission. One can only exercise authority well if they themselves are first a submitted person. And the call to husbands is to submit themselves to Jesus Christ and His desire for them to live in a understanding way with their wives. But we'll consider that in greater detail this morning. Well, let's give our careful attention now to the reading of God's holy word, 1 Peter chapter 3, looking this morning at just verse 7. Hear now the word of God. Likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. Amen. Here ends the reading of God's holy word. I once heard Sinclair Ferguson tell the story of the time in which he visited this very large diamond mine in South Africa. Dr. Ferguson began by describing how overwhelmed he was by the immensity of this grand operation. There were hundreds and hundreds of employees. There was a vast array of tools and large machinery. And throughout the tour, Dr. Ferguson watched as tons and tons and tons of rock were being continuously removed from these mines. Well, after the tour was over, and after Dr. Ferguson was thoroughly searched to make sure he didn't take anything with him from the mine, he was able to ask his host his burning question. He said, "For all of the equipment that you've purchased, for all of the employees that you are paying every day, and for all of the rock that you're removing, how many diamonds do you actually find?" Well, the manager of the mine was able to answer that question. He said, "You know, every day we work hard to blast and to remove something around 16,000 tons of rock. And at the end of the day, we bring up only a couple of handfuls worth of diamonds." 16,000 tons of rock, hundreds and hundreds of employees, tons of machinery, all for two handfuls of diamonds. Well, the manager went on to say, "But make no mistake, it is all worth it. Even with what you see here, all of the costs involved, it is all worth it because of those precious stones." Well, what makes it worth it? How does something so small, two little handfuls, make up for all of the rock, all of the effort, all of the money being spent? How is it that a couple handfuls of diamonds can make that entire operation worth it? Well, you know the answer. The answer lies in the worth of those diamonds. If the diamonds were not worth it, the operation wouldn't even exist. The value of those diamonds is undeniably evident. Every day, those men go to those mines and they put on display with their actions the immense worth of those few diamonds. Well, here in our text this morning, God's Word calls upon us as husbands to put on display with our actions the incredible and immense worth of our wives. Again, no one would ever go to one of those mines and doubt the value of those diamonds because they see that it is worth it by the way that those men set out each and every day and they work all day long to procure those diamonds. Well, the same thing should be said of us husbands in the ways that we live it with our wives in an understanding way. The way that you live, husbands, should put on display for all to see the intrinsic value of your wife. That is what Peter is saying here. Likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life. Now, ever since the fall of mankind into sin, the marriage relationship that was designed to put on display the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, well, that relationship has been marred by sin. And to this day, temptation and sin aim to wreak havoc upon our marriages. So this morning, we need to see verse 7 of chapter 3 as Christ's gentle restoration of that gospel image that He designed marriage to portray. The question that you need to answer this morning, husbands, is this: do you honor your wife? Do you honor your wife? Peter's command is simple and direct. Husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way. Peter goes on and he explains how it is that we do that. He says, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel. The only way in which you can live with your wife in an understanding way is if you honor her appropriately. Honoring her is the key that unlocks the door to living with her in an understanding way. Do you honor your wife? Brothers, in order to help you answer that question this morning, we are going to consider together three aspects of honoring her. Let's begin with the first. Do you honor your wife? Well, first, we see that honoring her is a matter of the heart. Honoring your wife is a matter of the heart. If you remember back, or if you're even looking there in your Bibles, if you look back to chapter 2, verse 17, you'll remember there that Peter told us that we are to honor everyone. We're even to honor the emperor. Well, here in our text, in chapter 3, verse 7, when Peter tells us to show honor to our wives, he uses the exact same word. And so that should bring up some questions for us. Is Peter saying that we are to honor our wives in the same way that we honor everyone? Is Peter saying that there is no distinction between the way that I honor my wife and the way that I honor everyone else? No. Not at all. Instead, as you can see there, when Peter tells us to show honor to our wives, he goes on to explain how it is that we are to honor our wives in that relationship in a unique and special way. Husbands, you need to honor your wife as the weaker vessel. Here we need to answer one question, and we need to make another observation. First, the question, what does that mean? What does it mean to honor your wife as the weaker vessel? At first glance, we might wonder how it is that weakness can be tied to honor. In most cases, you wouldn't think that we would correlate weakness to honor. You think about maybe the sports field. On the sports field, it is the strong, not the weak, that we honor. So what is Peter getting at here? What is that correlation between weakness and honor? Well, there are contexts in which strength, not weakness, is honored. But there are plenty of other contexts in which weakness, not strength, is honored. And you know this because you live in your own body. Think about your own body. Think about your eyes in particular. In terms of the body, your eyes are one of the weakest parts of your body. If someone were to throw a rock at you and hit you in the shoulder, it might hurt a little bit. And there might be a little bit of damage done. But if that same person took that same rock and they threw it and hit you in the eye, and especially if your eye was open, even if it was thrown with the same exact velocity, the damage is going to be incredibly different. The pain and damage then would be awful. Your eyes, obviously, are weaker than your shoulder. But that does not mean that your eyes are somehow less valuable to you than your shoulder. And you demonstrate this every day in the way that you prioritize and you protect your eyes. Think about this for a moment. And boys and girls, this is an easy one for you to think about. Think about maybe walking outside of a building. Maybe it's your own home or your school or whatever it might be. And all of a sudden, you're ambushed in a snowball fight. And you need to go from the exit of that building, let's say, to your car that's parked a little ways away. Well, how are you going to flee for your safety? Are you going to run and cover your shoulders to make sure that a snowball doesn't hit them? Or are you going to run and are you going to cover your eyes to make sure that a snowball doesn't hit them? Well, you know the answer. The answer for every single one of us is the same. That weaker part of our body is incredibly valuable and precious to us. And because of that, you are going to protect your eyes. You care for your eyes. You care for your eyes not in spite of their weakness, but because of their weakness. You understand how important your eyes are. Without them, you cannot see. And you cannot replace them. And so you honor them maybe more than any other part of your body. You honor them because of their weakness. Well, husbands, in the same way, you are to honor your wife. She is to be the most protected thing in your life because she should be the most precious to you. The Bible says that you need to honor her as the weaker vessel. And again, I said that this is a matter of the heart. This is something that will reveal itself in your life, whether or not you believe it in your heart of hearts. Do you honor your wife in this way? And this brings us then to the observation that I want us to make. Here's the observation. Peter tells us, husbands, that we need to honor our wives, not because of what they do, but because of who they are. And that is very important for us as husbands to lay a hold of. You are to honor your wife as the weaker vessel. By God's design, that is who she is. Her value is not wrapped up in what she can do for you, but instead of who she is by God's design. Her value is intrinsic to her. Again, brothers, this is a matter of the heart. Husbands, think about your relationship to your wife. What is it that determines how you honor your wife? Is it how she treats you? Is it what she can do for you? You can only answer this question. Is your honor for her, is your honoring of her somehow predicated upon an unspoken transaction between you and her? Are you withholding your honor of her until she meets certain criteria that you have set for her? Does your honoring of her wax and wane? Does it ebb and flow? Or is it constant, as we see here in the Word of God that it should be? Is it based, as God's Word teaches us here, upon who she is? Brothers, do you really honor your wife? Do you think of her in your heart of hearts as that precious and valuable part of your life that is the most guarded and protected? Do you honor your wife from the heart? Proverbs 23:7 tells us that as a man thinks in his heart, so he is. Do you honor your wife? Now, a couple of years ago, my family and I, we were driving from here to Parker to go visit some family. And as we were driving along the road, we were along this stretch of road in which there were open fields on both sides of the road. And we're just driving along, having a good conversation as a family, when a little voice from the back of the Suburban pipes up and he says, "Dad, could this Suburban drive through that field?" And I began to answer his question, "Well, yeah, of course this Suburban could drive through that field." And before those words almost finished coming out of my mouth, that same young voice shouted out, "Prove it. Prove it, Dad. Your words are insufficient. I want to see some action." Now, just for your information, I didn't drive through that field. But that boy was saying, words can be important, but your words are meaningless unless they are backed up by your action. And that is what Peter is saying to us here. Peter says the same thing. Do you honor your wife? Don't tell me with your words. Show me with your actions. And that brings us, secondly, to see that honoring her is observable. Honoring your wife, brothers, is observable in your life. Christ's command is that we show honor to our wives. How? By living with them in an understanding way. Again, what is in your heart is going to be revealed by your actions. The way that you show honor to your wife is by living with her in an understanding way. Put another way, whether or not you truly honor your wife will be demonstrated by how well you live with her in an understanding way. So, brothers, how do you live with your wife in an understanding way? I want to give you three ways. These are three essential aspects to living with your wife in an understanding way. The first is that you need to know her. Husbands, you need to be a student of your wife. You need to know her better than anyone else knows her. You need to know her strengths and her weaknesses. You need to know her hopes and her fears. You need to know how she thinks. You need to know what makes her tick. You need to know what it is that discourages her. You need to know her needs. You need to know everything about her. You need to know your wife far better than anyone else. You need to watch her. You need to talk with her. You need to listen to her. You need to study her. When we say that we are studying something, we are giving a vast amount of our attention to that thing, and the same should be true of our wives. She should get a bulk of your attention. Brothers, no one should notice anything about your wife before you do, because of how you are carefully seeking to know her. Let's say she's struggling with something and a friend comes up to her and notices the same thing. She's struggling with something. Well, your wife, because of how carefully you're living with her, she should always be able to respond by telling her friend of how you're already being her greatest help and support with this thing that she is wrestling through, because you know her. Now, this is obvious, but I need to point it out. You need to know your wife. Your living with her in an understanding way needs to be tailored to your wife. If you were to go and get a suit fitted, and you went to the tailor, and he began to fit your suit to the general measurements of all the men out there, you would fire your tailor. That's not his job. He is to tailor your suit to your body. Well, likewise, husbands, you live in an understanding way with your wife. The way that you live needs to be tailored to your wife, not to the general expectations that you might have or think that there are for wives out there. No, you need to study your wife, and your living with her needs to be tailored specifically to her. Well, second, you need to know God's Word. You need to know your wife, but you also need to know God's Word. Only by God's Word will you be able to truly live with your wife in an understanding way. You need the illumination of the Word of God. You need God's Word to teach you first about her. As I've just mentioned, there's much that you can know by simply studying your wife. But there are other aspects to her that can only be revealed to you by the Word of God. Only God's Word tells you of His original design and purpose for her. And so you need the Word of God. You need to meditate upon the Word of God so that you might live with her in an understanding way. Similarly, you need the Word of God to teach you how to live together. God's Word is the only infallible rule for faith and life. The only way that you can live with your wife in an understanding way is to live with her according to God's Word. Husbands, you are the head of the home. You are the head of your wife, and you have the responsibility to lead your wife and your children in a life that is pleasing to God. The only way that you can do that is if you know the Word of God. You need to study God's Word in order that you can carefully live with your wife in an understanding way, leading her to live according to the Word of God. That brings us to the third way, and that is, third, you need to cultivate and maintain togetherness in your marriage. You need to cultivate and maintain togetherness in your marriage. There's no other relationship on this earth like that of the husband and wife. It is unique among all human relationships, and that's by God's careful design, because that relationship is meant to reflect to this world the gospel of Jesus Christ. Your marriage is meant to reflect that union between Christ and His church. And that union between Christ and His church is an unbreakable, organic union. How many times does the Apostle Paul refer to us as being in Christ? You can't know the Christian apart from Christ. In the same way, there should be a togetherness about your union, husband and wife, that you cultivate and maintain so that it reflects that unity between Christ and His church. That's what Peter is getting at when he says that we are to live with our wives in an understanding way. And he says, since she is an heir with you of the grace of life. There should always be such a sense of togetherness between you and your wife that everyone can see and everyone can testify that God has taken the two of you and He has made you one. Well, all of this, living with our wives in an understanding way, showing honor to her as the weaker vessel, all of this brings up the question, what if others don't see it? What if I don't honor my wife in that way? What if I'm not currently living with my wife in an understanding way? These can be hard questions to wrestle through. It can be difficult for us as men to recognize the fact that we are not living up to God's standard. That brings us to our third consideration. Honoring her is not optional. Honoring your wife, brothers, it is not optional. Last week I noted how there are some who will come to texts like 1 Peter 3:1 through 6, and that call for wives to submit to their own husbands. And they will get creative and they will come up with all sorts of caveats and workarounds to excuse them from what God's Word says. Same thing is true of our text here this morning. There will be men who are going to hear this clear word from God's Word, and they will seek to excuse themselves in a whole variety of ways. They will make excuses. They will place blame instead of simply looking to Christ's requirement. And looking to Christ and His grace to fulfill that requirement. Well, brothers, sometimes we need the Word of God to shake us from our slumber. One passage that comes to mind that does this well is 1 John 4:20. It says, if anyone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. You catch there what the Apostle John is saying? He says simply, your words are meaningless if they do not match your life. You cannot at the same time love God while simultaneously refusing to submit to His commands. Jesus said, if you love me, you will obey my commands. Well, that's why Peter adds this warning here this morning. Husbands, honoring your wife is not optional. Husbands, honoring your wife is something that Christ requires of you. If you refuse to live with your wife in an understanding way, if you refuse to honor her from the heart in the way that the Word of God requires, your prayers will be hindered. That is a frightening statement. God clearly warns us husbands that if we fail to submit to Him in this regard, in our relationship to our wives, He is going to turn a deaf ear to our prayers. What do we have if we cannot call upon God? What do we have if we cannot pray and know that God will hear us? Prayer is, in a way, representative of our entire relationship to God. Prayer expresses our great need of God. Prayer expresses our dependence upon God. Prayer expresses our coming to God through the work of Jesus, our Savior. Prayer is, in a word, our relating to God. And it is right there that then God comes and He says to us, if you're unwilling to submit to me, if you are unwilling to show honor to your wife as the weaker vessel, if you are unwilling to recognize her as that co-heir with you of the grace of Christ, then of the grace of life, then I am unwilling to hear your prayers. Honoring her is not optional. And my prayer this week, brothers, husbands, my prayer for you this week, and it's my prayer for myself, is that this passage will strike an appropriate fear within each of our hearts. My hope and my prayer is that this passage will cause us to wake up and to seek the kind of relationship with our wives that is pleasing to God. My hope and prayer is that we will hear the Word of God and that we will not be hearers only, but that we will be doers. That we will love not in word and talk, but in deed and in truth. So brothers, do you honor your wife? Do you honor her truly from the heart? And do your actions show it? Husbands, I've been directing this question to you, and that's primarily where this question should be directed. Do you honor your wife? But I don't think this is a question that you can answer alone. I want you to ask your wife. I want you to talk to her. I want you to respond to the Word of God this morning by taking time to be alone with your wife. And I want you to ask her openly, honestly, with the assurance that you want to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, that you want to be more like Christ, and you want to know from her, am I honoring you? Do you get the sense from the way that I live with you that I truly honor you from the heart? Do I live with you in an understanding way? Ask the question genuinely. Ask the question without getting defensive. Ask the question ready to listen. And don't respond. Don't respond yet, but take it to heart. Sit in it for a moment and then respond by going to Christ. Husbands, you may this morning find yourself in hindsight to be a little bit like Peter, the author of this letter. Peter was that one whom Jesus warned. He said, Peter, you are going to betray me. And Peter responded by saying, Jesus, it will never happen. I would never betray you. Peter was confident that it would never be like that. But despite Peter's confidence and his assurance, it was only a matter of hours until circumstances brought out of his heart what was there all along. Those circumstances brought about that revelation of what was in his heart the whole time, and he denied Christ. Well, husbands, maybe you can think back to the time in which you dated your wife, or maybe the early days of your marriage. You might think about the commitments that you made to her. It'll never be like that. I could never do anything like that to you. Or maybe even just the commitments you made to yourself. I'll never speak harshly to her. I'll never get angry. I'll never be absent. I'll never grow cold. I'll never grow distant. I'll never fill in the blank. Well, maybe like Peter, time and circumstances has revealed to you what was in your heart the whole time. What do you do if you, like Peter, have come to the point where you realize beyond excuse that you are capable of doing all those things that you said would never happen? Well, thanks be to God. He is good and kind. He is gracious and merciful. He is slow to anger. He is abounding in steadfast love. You can repent. By the grace of God, you can go to God through Christ, and you can repent of all of the ways in which you have failed to live with your wife in an understanding way. you can go and you can repent of all the ways in which you don't honor her from the heart. And in like manner, you can, by the grace of God, you can go to her and you can repent and you can ask for forgiveness. Husbands, rest assured this morning that if you repent, you can be sure that you will find grace and mercy. You will find forgiveness with Jesus Christ. You can stand clothed in His righteousness. And just as Jesus restored Peter and He sent him back in the power of the gospel to go fulfill his duties as an apostle, you will come to Christ in true repentance, He will restore you and He will send you back to your wife in the power of the gospel to fulfill your duties as a husband by the grace of God. Let us not be mere hearers of the word this morning, brothers. Let us, by the grace of God, be doers. Let us pray. Our gracious God in heaven, Father, we are so thankful for your grace and your mercy in our lives because to one degree or another, all of us, making vows to our wives, said, I would never do this or that. And time and circumstances have revealed that sin was lying deep within our hearts the whole time. Father, will you make us as husbands repentant? Make us those disciples of Jesus Christ who are daily repenting of these sins and seeking to walk in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, you have called husbands to be the head of the wife and head of the home, and the only proper way for anyone to ever exercise authority is to do so in submission. Father, by your grace, will you submit our hearts to you? Would you, by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, subdue our hearts so that we are men who are living in authority as those who are submitted to the Lord Jesus Christ. And as recipients of His grace, make us those who reflect it, that we might live with our wives in an understanding way, showing honor to her as the weaker vessel, as the co-heir of the grace of life. Father, grant us this repentance. Please hear our prayers, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.